Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we discuss the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football. As always, I'm Jeremiah, and we're back again with another episode for you guys today. Today, specifically, I wanted to get into the situation, or I should say the possible relocation of the Oakland Raiders. You know, the league meetings do occur this week. There is a lot of proposed rule changes that could happen. But the biggest thing to the biggest topic of the league meetings is the possible relocation of the Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas. So all the Raiders need is 24 out of 32 NFL owners votes to pass for relocation. So I will get into that. I am going to talk about some of the big names on the market as well. We possibly just a little update on Adrian Peterson, Colin Kaepernick, Darrelle Revis, Jay Cutler, you know, guys like that. And I am going to give you guys an update on Brock Osweiler and what Hugh Jackson said about the new Cleveland Browns quarterback and how he will be treated in the organization. And I have to end the story off on one of the most polarizing figures in sports currently right now. And that is, of course, LeVar Ball. And I know this is a football show, and LeVar Ball is mostly known in the basketball world, but he has a little bit of football background in him, especially in the NFL. So I will discuss the NFL background of LeVar Ball at the end of the show. But first, let's begin with the Oakland Raiders. So they're expected to have enough votes from the NFL owners to approve the move to Vegas. They're expected to have that. So it looks like it's going to happen. So it's the vote is supposed to happen around 2 p.m. Eastern time today. Well, it is around 8:30 in the morning here on March 27th. So I'm recording this episode before the vote even happens. And by the time this episode comes out, or by the time you guys are listening to this, the news will probably be occurring already. But there's a lot that, you know, we have to discuss before the actual vote becomes official. So, you know, the one thing that really speaks to my mind about a move to Vegas is that, you know, the NFL, you know, it would be the first time that the league would allow referees and other on-field officials into the city. And, you know, the NFL has had a strict policy about Vegas. You know, they didn't want any conflict with their referees to visit Sin City during the season. So, you know, the league for decades, you know, they prohibit officials from visiting Vegas during the regular season at any point. They can only go to Vegas for personal emergencies or mandatory meetings for their other non-NFL jobs. But other than that, they weren't allowed to go. They were not allowed to go during the season. So even in the off season, they are allowed to visit, but they have to inform the NFL office. So I do think this is something that has to be a little bit of a concern, because, you know, a thing that really speaks to me in my mind was I remember in 2007 in the NBA with Tim Donaghy. You know, he was a referee in National Basketball Association, and he was a gambler. He will be able to fix the game through, you know, administrating play during the game. So Tim Donaghy, he made headlines because, you know, he was involved in gambling, especially gambling on games that he was refereeing. So I'm not saying that the NFL referees are going to go that way, but, you know, we've seen a ref, you know, bet on games that he was actually, you know, administrating. So, you know, with referees not being allowed in Vegas is going to change everything when this vote does happen. Because, of course, you know, you need referees to referee an NFL game. And it has been a concern for, you know, multiple professional, you know, leagues to not have a team there. Well, you know, Vegas, they do have a professional team now in the NHL with the Golden Knights. They're probably going to get their second team with the Raiders today. So one thing that NFL owners are not really concerned with anymore is the gambling part. And maybe that's because of online gambling. That has skyrocketed. People don't have to go to Vegas to gamble anymore. So maybe that's some of the things that people won't take issue with, especially if you're an NFL owner. But, you know, with the Tim Donaghy thing, I think that's the reason why the NFL has really gone to great lengths to protect the officials from even going that route. But I do think when this vote does happen, you know, there's still going to be strict guidelines. There has to be strict guidelines of referees going to Vegas that's not business related. There's definitely going to be a memo for the players, the coaches, definitely owners as well. So I do think there's going to be some strict guidelines when this vote does happen. But, you know, looking forward here, it looks like that, you know, a public stadium contribution of $750 million plus $200 million for maintenance, I think is the reason why this is going to happen. If you've seen this stadium, the way that it looks like it's supposed to be built, you know, it is literally not far away from the strip, the Las Vegas strip. You know, it's like something you would see in a movie, like, that would take place in the future. So I do think the vote for relocation is going to happen. There is a couple of things I don't really like for it, because we have possibly going to have three teams that are going to relocate. You know, the Rams relocated to L.A. again. You know, we had the Chargers relocated to L.A. Then we're going to have the Raiders possibly relocate to Las Vegas. So, you know, I just don't like that, you know, taking a team away from a city. But I can understand that the NFL, they don't want to be in St. Louis, and they'd rather be in L.A. The San Diego, the San Diego Chargers, you know, I kind of think that was a bad thing for the NFL. I still think the Chargers still belong in San Diego, but they're probably never going to be back there unless everything is just disastrous in L.A., which I think could happen. There is no fan base there for the Chargers. But I do think that the Raiders could survive in Las Vegas. It's a tourist attraction city. It's a lot of tourism. And, you know, it looks like this team's going to be good for a while. But even when this team isn't going to be good, I still think people are going to find ways to go to games. You know, I think they're going to be interested to see the opposing team sometimes. You know, let's just say that Tom Brady, if he's still playing by the time the new stadium opens, but I don't know if he'll last that long. But let's just say if Tom Brady's still playing in the NFL somehow, and he is playing the Vegas, I think a lot of people tourists are going to want to go there just to see Tom Brady, because he's such a big national name. So, you know, players that have that kind of national stature, will be an attraction in itself. So a lot of the money made by NFL teams is mainly on the suites as well. And, you know, you got a lot of high rollers in Nevada, and especially in Vegas, that are probably going to be in those suites or possibly buying those suites, whatever they do. They're going to make a lot of money like that. So I do think that the NFL, I think it's, you know, I think they want to see this happen. They want this to be successful, because if it fails, if an NFL team fails in Vegas, then, you know, people are going to be like, I told you so. But I do think if there's going to be any NFL team that is going to be in Vegas, it has to be the Raiders. I just feel like they just make too much sense. You know, they kind of fit the mold of Las Vegas. They just fit the part. And, you know, well, it makes me see what happens. But the vote will happen later today. And by the time you guys listen to this episode, it probably will happen already. So I'll discuss, you know, the relocation move, if it happens, which I think it will, on tomorrow's show. So stay tuned for that. All right, well, I'm going to take my first break, and when I get back, I'm going to discuss some of the big name free agents and give you guys a little update. You know, like Adrian Peterson, Darrelle Revis, Colin Kaepernick. I will talk about those guys when I get back to the Going to Meet Concepts football podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And welcome back to Going to Meet Concepts Football Podcast. So we still got some really big names on the market. Most notably that comes to my mind is Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Darrelle Revis, Colin Kaepernick, Jake Cutler. None of these guys have really generated a lot of interest in free agency. Probably the player who had the coldest market is Colin Kaepernick. Like, he's not getting any interest at all from any team. And yesterday on Twitter, the Joe Thomas, the Browns Pro Bowl left tackle, he took to Twitter to pretty much analyze why Kaepernick is not getting a look. His thoughts, he said, you know, teams don't currently view him as a starting quarterback, and NFL teams accept zero distractions from their backup quarterbacks. So what Joe Thomas is saying is that Colin Kaepernick is way too much of a distraction to have on your team if he's not a starter. And I think Kaepernick can start for a lot of teams. I can name like 10 on top of my head. But, you know, I'm not surprised that he won't ever be on a team. But I just at least think he should get at least a phone call, at least a visit or a workout or something to at least compete for a starting job. Because I still think he has a lot of talent left. And you know what? I'm not ready to say that he's being blackballed by the NFL, that a lot of media people are saying. I'm not ready for that because it is still late in March. We're kind of still in the free agency period, kind of early. The draft is not even here yet. So I do think if Kaepernick is still not generating any interest in like June, maybe late May, definitely July. If he's not having any interest from May through training camp, then yeah, you know what? I'm going to have to say he is being blackballed because, you know, because of his political stance. So that's something that's probably a player that I'm most intrigued to watch where he goes and, you know, how the market opens up or if it just closes. So, you know, Kaepernick is definitely someone that's on a lot of people's watch list when it comes to free agency because, you know, he was one of the most polarizing figures in the NFL in a lot of sports. So even if he does happen to have a lot of talent left in him. Teams are just, I think they're just afraid of the PR and the attention that they will receive from bringing Kaepernick into their team. So Kaepernick is one of those guys that has a very, good interest throughout this offseason. And, you know, other players that have a lot of interest, watch to say, that are being interested to keep an eye on, is probably Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson is one of probably the best running backs in his generation, probably in the past 20 years. That's a lot to say. But, you know, he's a guy that literally was 2 years away from leading the league in rushing yards. Remember, he did it in 2015. In 2016, he was not the same guy. Remember, he was such a slow starter. He only had 31 carries the entire year. But remember, he did get a meniscus injury, and he did rush back. And there's been rumors that, you know, he is asking for like nothing less than $8 million per year. And, you know, Adrian Peterson took that to Instagram and he just said, you know, you can't believe everything you read or hear. And the last thing that he's worried about is playing ball this coming season. So when you look at his entire message that he put on his Instagram page, this is what he says. Quote, "You can't believe everything you read or hear, people. The last thing I'm worried about is playing ball this coming season. That will happen. It's not all about the money as everyone is speculating here lately. You'll think these analysts spoke to me directly. When you don't know what's going on, people, you will say anything to create or make a story. How prideful is it for me to put out, I won't play for anything less than $8 million. But see, when you don't know a person or what they stand for, it's easy to paint your own picture. Unfortunately, this is the world we live in. Here is something straight from the horse's mouth. Finding the best fit and helping the team in a major way when a championship is my main objective. I'm in no rush. Let me eliminate questions or speculation as to why. I believe wholeheartedly my God will land me right where I need to be to accomplish what I've asked from him, period." So, you know, reading all that, it looks like Adrian Peterson is taking his time. And, you know, maybe he isn't asking for $8 million, but I would be surprised if Adrian Peterson is not on a team in 2017. I would be surprised. You know, he still has a name. I still think he can be a really good player on a really good team. But honestly, if Marshawn Lynch doesn't make a comeback, I think the Oakland Raiders are going to be interested, even though they haven't shown any already. There's going to be a market out there for Adrian Peterson. I think it's going to come after the draft where, you know, a lot of teams see where they're at the running back position. So let's just say if the Giants don't address anything at the running back position in the draft, I think they can go after Adrian Peterson. If the Raiders don't address the running back position, if they don't get a guy like Joe Mixon or Alvin Kamara, any of the young running backs in this draft, if they don't get any of those guys, I think the Raiders will be interested in Adrian Peterson. So, honestly, I think Adrian Peterson's market will skyrocket after the NFL draft because a lot of teams get to see where they're at more before, you know, OTAs come up. And, you know, another guy that, you know, he's made headlines is, you know, Darrelle Revis. We all know he got cut from the Jets. You know, he was involved in that little dispute in Pittsburgh. But, you know, all the charges were dropped for alleged assault. So, you know, legally, he's cleared. Revis did pass his first year, but I still think he can make a very good comeback. I still think he can make a comeback. I think he can still be productive on a team. I think he should make the transition to safety. He's only 32, so I still think if he makes that transition, he can do that. But, you know, they're going. He's going to come cheap, but I don't know if Darrelle Revis wants to sign that. Wants to come cheap. So Revis has a cold market. There's really not a whole lot of interest right now, which is not surprising. But I do think that Darrelle Revis is kind of somewhat in a similar boat than Adrian Peterson. I just think he's someone that's going to be looked at after the draft when a lot of teams know where they're at that point in time. And, you know, we got guys like Jay Cutler still looking for work. I'm surprised that he hasn't been interested. I'm surprised the Jets weren't interested in him. I think he's talented more. He's more talented than Josh McCown. But I just think, you know, with the way that the media scrutinizes him, that really does hurt Cutler in a way. And he is 34, so maybe a lot of teams don't see him as a bridge quarterback. And I don't think Jay Cutler sees himself as a bridge quarterback, but I think Cutler will be on the team. It just remains to be seen what happens in the draft. I think he's another player that's going to have to wait till the draft. And, you know, we got a couple of running backs like Jamal Charles and Garrett Blunt. I can see like Garrett Blunt generating more interest than Jamal Charles. You know, like Garrett Blunt is still in his 20s. He did lead the lead in touchdowns with 18, rushing touchdowns, that is. So he's someone that we have to look at as well. Jamal Charles, you know, he has been plagued by injuries, and that's something that really has hurt his production. But, you know, I think Jamal Charles is going to get a chance to compete on the team. But I don't know if he has anything left in the tank to be a part of a team during the regular season. But I think we will see him in the preseason. And I just think he's has too many knee surgeries to stay healthy and to be productive again. But, you know, we have a lot of big names left on the market. I discuss a lot of these guys. And I think I honestly think we have to wait till the NFL draft to see where these guys land. I think the only player that probably won't get any interest at all, that will probably be on the couch, is probably Colin Kaepernick for many reasons. But honestly, these are the guys that I'm really interested to see where they go. I really am. And I think a lot of people are interested to see where these players go as well because, you know, they have a name. It's always interesting to see where a lot of big names go, especially guys that are kind of like a little bit past their prime. But I'm just very interested to see what happens to these guys. And, you know, I think it's all going to come down till after the NFL draft. All right, well, I'm going to take my last break, and when I get back, I'm going to discuss Brock Osweiler and this pretty much to talk about if he's going to be the starter week one for the Cleveland Browns. So I'll tell you guys my thoughts on Brock Osweiler when I get back to Going to Me Concepts Football Podcast.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Well, we're about a week away from it being April, and for some reason, Brock Osweiler is still with the Cleveland Browns. I'm a little surprised because, you know, the Browns did say that they were either going to trade him or cut him, and they haven't done neither of those things. But, you know, Hugh Jackson, head coach for the Browns, he's preparing his upcoming drafting season if, like, Osweiler is part of the team. He said that Osweiler is going to be treated as a Browns quarterback until he's no longer with the squad. So that doesn't mean he's going to be the starter It just means he's going to be treated like he's part of the team. So, I think if he happens to still be on the Browns in training camp, he's going to have a chance to compete. Man. I think he really has a realistic chance to be a starter in Cleveland. When you look at the other quarterbacks in Cleveland, you know, Cordy Kessler could probably be the starter. You know, they got Kevin Hogan, who they, I think it was an undrafted free agent from Stanford. So, there's really not a whole lot of competition for Osweiler. And, you know, when there's someone at like Osweiler, who was last year the hottest free agent on the market, and now he's probably the worst quarterback in the league, I think this might be a really good opportunity for Brock Osweiler to really show what he's got if he's still in the Browns. And if Brock Osweiler, if he's still a part of this team for some reason, if he's still a part of the Browns organization, I think if he competes well, if he looks good in the preseason, if he's still there, I think he has a legitimate shot to being the week one starter for the Browns. There's no doubt in my mind that he can be a starter for this team. You know, the fact that, you know, Cleveland rather have Brock Osweiler than Colin Kaepernick is something that I don't get. But, you know, we've seen Brock Osweiler perform at a pretty relatively good level. But maybe that's because of the team that he was on in Denver. Maybe. But, you know, we've seen Brock Osweiler on a really good team last year, on really good with a really good defense. The Houston Texans defense was a great defense without J.J. Watt, and Brock Osweiler still couldn't be great. He's very inconsistent. So, you know, with the Browns, you know, they cut RG3. You know, they didn't sign Josh McCown. When you look at the depth chart, it's Osweiler, Cody Kessler, and Kevin Hogan. And, you know, they look like they're one of the teams that could happen to get a quarterback in the draft, like Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kizer, maybe Patrick Mahomes. So they can probably get one of those guys at the number 12 selection, because number one is going to Myles Garrett. You can't pass on him. You'll be a fool if you do that. So, let's just say if Osweiler's still on the team. I still think the Browns are going to draft a quarterback. Like, why wouldn't you? But I still think Osweiler still has a legit chance to compete and be a starter for the Browns. I really do think so. And honestly, if he does become the week one starter, I'm not going to be surprised, because for one reason, this is the Cleveland Browns. You know, they've always done stuff that's kind of a little bit over the that's unordinary, but that's because they're Cleveland. They always do stuff like that. They try to do a little too much, and, you know, it clearly shows. But, you know, when you look at the guys in the draft, I'm not in love with any of the guys that coming out of the draft this year. It's tough for me to see Mitch Trubisky as a franchise quarterback. Deshaun Kizer, I think he has potential. Patrick Mahomes has a great arm. I think if he's in the right system, he can be really good. Deshaun Watson, I think he's the best quarterback in the draft, but I do think he'll take time to develop. And when you got when you're a team like Cleveland that hasn't had a really stable quarterback, that's had like 22 since 2000. And no, it's up there. Honestly, if you're Cleveland, I think you got to pretty much see what you have in Osweiler. I don't really see any other team taking a shot at Osweiler. I just don't know where he fits else in the league. If we saw Josh McCown going to the Jets, and if the Jets rather have McCown than Osweiler, Cutler, and then Kaepernick, you know, pretty much told you the market value for Osweiler there. So I do think that there's a legit chance that Osweiler will be the Brown star in week one. I really do think so. So he's either going to be the star in week one, or he's going to be on the couch because there's no interest for Osweiler. He's still on a team for some reason because no team wants to trade for that contract. I have nothing else to say about Brock Osweiler, honestly. The fact that he's still in the Browns, it kind of still is kind of baffling to me after they said that they were going to try to trade him or cut him. But I do want to leave off that there's a chance that Osweiler can be the Browns star week one. When you look at the depth chart that they have right now, Osweiler is the best quarterback on this team. And that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. All right, well, before I go, I got to talk to you guys about LaVar Ball. And I know LaVar Ball, he is mainly associated with basketball and the NBA and college basketball with March Madness going on. But, you know, there was a story on ESPN that I read this morning. And that, you know, LaVar Ball was known as a cocky nobody on the Jets training camp roster. So, before, you know, before Lonzo Ball was even born, the oldest of the Ball brothers, before Lonzo Ball was even born, LaVar Ball was trying to make a name for himself on the New York Jets. So he was in training camp with the Jets during the summers of 94 and 95. So in the mid-90s, LaVar Ball was, you know, trying to be on the NFL squad. He was trying out for one. So this is the same guy. Remember, this is the same guy that said he can beat Michael Jordan. He can beat Charles Barkley one-on-one. So, you know, Pete Carroll was a coach. You know, LaVar Ball played defensive end. He wore number 99. He didn't make it out of camp that year. 1995, Rich Cotty, under head coach Rich Cotty, Ball returned to the Jets training camp as a tight end, wearing number 47, didn't make it out. It's kind of unclear if he played in the preseason game, but Ball never appeared in a regular season game. We know that much. And then when you look at the media guide, you know, you have a picture of his mugshot here. There's a little bio during, you know, his background in college, you know, playing basketball from, you know, Washington State to, I think, L.A. City and into Cal State L.A. I think that's the wrong school. Oh, it's Long Beach City College. There you go. So he went from Washington State to Long Beach City College to Cal State L.A. So LaVar Ball tried to be a football player, and, you know, he obviously didn't make it. Boomer Esiason, you know, the Jets quarterback from 93 to 95, said he doesn't remember LaVar Ball at all. Former linebacker for the Jets, Marvin Jones, does. He said, quote, "I remember LaVar Ball very well. He was a very athletic guy and raw. I remember him very well because he played only 1 year of college football. I remember a very confident guy, and yes, he voiced his opinion and was cocky, but overall seemed like a great guy." So, you know, LaVar Ball was the same as that, how he is today. You know, he's very loud, very confident, and he was just known as a cocky nobody. But yeah, you know, there's a little cool story that I wanted to share with you guys, you know, because we are in March Madness. You know, unfortunately, UCLA, the team that Lonzo Ball plays for, who is LaVar's son, they lost this past weekend, and Lonzo Ball did say he is declaring for the NBA draft, and he's expected to be in the top three pick, probably number one pick, but, you know, Marco Fultz is projected to be the number one pick. So I expect Lonzo Ball to be drafted as a top three pick in June. So that's something I wanted to leave off for you guys there, to give you guys a little something to talk about on your Monday afternoon, where you're commuting or working out, whatever you guys are doing. I wanted to leave you guys with a story. There's something to talk about with your friends. All right, well, that's going to do it for me today. And when I will be back tomorrow. I'll discuss any type of news that happens over the next 24 hours. I will probably talk about the Raiders relocating. It will probably be official later today, so I will discuss that and any type of news that occurs throughout today. But as always, I'm Jeremiah. I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in to the Goings to Media Concepts Football Podcast. You guys have a great day.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.